Blog Talk Radio.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat Shalom, Shema Yasha Allah, Yahweh Allah Haya Nawa, Ahaya Akar, Hero Israel, the Most High, our power is one. are listening to Blueprint for Life. This is a day that the Most High has made. And before we do anything else, let's go before our holy Abba in prayer. Most High, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. May thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemaim. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Father, we pray for the people of Yasha'Allah, of Israel, spread throughout the four corners of the earth, feeling these labor pains, these growing pains, preparing themselves to get ready to go home to Jerusalem. I mean, we know that you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. I thank you that you have a remnant in the earth. We do pray that more of our brothers and sisters will awaken, if it be your will. But for those that are awake and in the struggle and fighting to keep these commandments and stay righteous and abstain from wickedness and lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life, I ask that you lift them up, encourage them today so that they'll have a little extra wind for a little further in this walk, in this life, as we come out of her, separate ourselves from Babylon, break all strongholds, destroy all harmful memories, and give your people deliverance from themselves, first and foremost. Heal our people from their mental anguish and mental sickness and diseases, and from pharmakia. Father, we need the Ruach like never before. So give your people a refilling of the Ruach HaKadosh all over this world, that they might be in light. Bless the prophets today that prophesy your word and preach Torah. Hallelujah. We ask all these blessings in the name of our dear brother, Shahamashiach. So be it. Hallelujah. This is Blueprint for Life, and I am your host, Elder Brother B. Torah. It is truly a delight to be with you, coming from the sunny skies of Northern California, or you might want to start calling this Sodom and Gomorrah, because we're getting burnt up in the north, we're getting burnt up in the south. As soon as we walk out the front door, we smell fire and brimstone. It's all in the air. Sky just ain't right. Just ain't right, but I tell you this. As with Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm looking for them angels to come and lead us and guide us out when it's time for us to go back home, because he said he's going to gather us. And if you remember Lot and his wife, then don't even look back. When it's time for us to go home, brothers and sisters, don't even think about what you're leaving behind. Sister Tamar can look back if she won't, turn to a pillar of salt. I'm not looking back. I'm going to keep it moving. That's her favorite song. Got to keep moving.
That's right.
So we welcome you to the Shabbat. I pray that you are enjoying your day of relaxation and being fed and encouraged and exhorted today. That's what our goal is today. It's just a fellowship with one another. So I welcome all those that are listening online, calling. You know, we were looking at some of the stats today, and we found out that we got folks listening to us over in Norway and in Trinidad. So I say Shabbat Shalom to whoever's listening to us in these other countries. That truly is a blessing. We've been doing this for about 10, 12 years. Prior to this being called Blueprint for Life, the Shabbat lesson was known as the Israelite way of life. That's why I started putting that back in the episode information, because some people remember it as the Israelite way of life. And our, as Alm Hoyda, is that we're here to help restore the cultural identity of the true Hebrew man, one asleep mind at a time. We have a vast history. It didn't start with slavery. We were the kings of this earth, and they called it the Dark Ages because dark folks ran the world. And then they called it the Renaissance period, when these Edomites and the Greeks and Romans came and began to conquer us because of our disobedience and us having left our culture and left the Ten Commandments. So That's why on this day we solely focus on coming back to the statutes, laws, and commandments, restoring order amongst Israel. Restoring order amongst Israel. When I read the Shema at the beginning of the show, I want you to know something. That's how we used to greet each other when we were in captivity and throughout all our captivities, in order to identify, that's how we greeted each other. We said, "Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power is one." And that's Shema Yasha Allah, Haya Allah, Haya Nawa, Hawa Akkad. And that's Deuteronomy 6 and 4. And I believe we should begin to greet each other like that once again in our Hebrew tongue. And the reason I say that is that we'll have something that they can't even relate to. It'd be like, what did they just say? And they won't even know that's our holy Kodesh greeting to one another. So look that up and incorporate that into your life. Before I go any further, let me say Shabbat Shalom to Deacon D. How you doing, my brother?
Doing just fine. Shabbat Shalom to all the 12 tribes out there and the strangers that are among us. As we come up on the Feast of Dedication and hear no shofars a blow, and you see our brother Judah Mack having those shofars blowing, all the everyone in the 12 tribes coming to him as we were taking our land back from the Greeks. This is the time. This is what we need to be celebrating right now: is a feast, dedication of taking back the temple, and leave that that Christmas thing where it is. I mean, that's our holy day, our high holy day that we have to celebrate for the Most High.
All praises to the Most High for the final holy day of the Gregorian calendar, 2017, for us. So we're keeping our focus on that. That was a wonderful lesson that that we had about the spirit of Christmas, which is a demonic spirit. We brought some things out. And before I give it over to Sister Tamar, I do want to touch on that because you brought it up. I mean, last week we did a series on the strangers amongst us, so we welcome the strangers. Like Kendrick Lamar say, shut up, sit down, be humble, and learn. Hey, Brother D, that's about to be my new credo. Those lyrics right there.
There you go.
When we meet these Hebrews, these new Hebrews that's been in the truth for about a week or two, that's what they need to do. Come and be taught. And if you can't accept that, then
move around.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
Keep it moving. I mean, how you going to come over here and teach? But okay, I'm not going to start on that. As I was getting ready to say, yeah, man, there's no humility amongst Israel.
Right.
We see that in the book of Ezekiel. That's why he said, what makes you think they're going to listen to you? They wouldn't even listen to me.
Mm-hmm.
He said, but I had made your face hard against theirs. And I think you need to put a period when you read that, because he's saying, I made you gangster to be able to handle them. Most people don't understand it. When he said, I made your forehead hard against theirs, I slanted your head, I want you to look tough where people are literally, when they see you coming, they think twice before they say just anything to you, because he knew what Ezekiel was about to deal with. Nobody wants to deal with that. Just like nobody wants to deal with Nehemiah telling the people that came every Saturday to get into the walls of Jerusalem and sell the people food, Nehemiah said, come around this gate one more time, I'm going to lay hands on you. And our people still today use that slang. Don't make me lay my hands on you. So know that being a prophet, preacher, and us of Israel, we're not going to be just laying down and being all syrupy, nice, and kissing behind. We're fighting for our lives, and we're trying to save lives. We're trying to keep people from going to hell. We ain't got time to be playing around. So, Brother D, you brought up a good scripture on Wednesday, and I want to bring this up. For all you people that's worried about getting a Christmas present and a Christmas gift, get James 1:17. Everybody worried about Christmas lights, Christmas gifts, Christmas presents. This is what we brought up on Wednesday.
Am I getting a present?
You're not getting nothing. And this is going to tell you why. Go ahead and read it.
James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is
hold on. Every what?
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Stop right there. That's all the gifts we need. Every good gift and perfect gift. The PlayStation ain't gonna even be working next year. So every good gift, read the rest. And every perfect gift comes from above. The blessings we get are year-round from the Father. And now this is for all the folks that love the little Christmas trees.
Okay, and cometh down from the Father of lights.
The Father of lights blesses us with gifts. He's all the Christmas lights you need to see. James 1 and 17. So if somebody say, you know, I'm talking to you about gifts and lights and Christmas trees, you give them James 1 and 17.
No gifts.
No gifts. There'll be no gifts. Wait till Purim. Purim and
February. We only want one gift, and that's the gift from the Most High. That's all we want. That's all we need.
And now I'm about to let y'all know one more thing before I give Sister Tamar. If somebody tells you Merry Christmas, you have my permission to find a stick or something. It's called righteous indignation, and I'll tell you why. When somebody says Merry Christmas to you, the origin of Merry Christmas is Happy Death of Christ. It comes from the World Book Encyclopedia and the Catholic Encyclopedia that breaks down the word Mass. And when you do your study, you find out that they're saying Merry Death of Christ. And that's where the meaning came from. Somebody's actually blaspheming Christ when they come to you and say Merry Christmas. And the reason they got that anagram of Satan, which is Santa saying, ho, 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 Merry Christmas, he's laughing. It's mockery. Serious about who you are and who you represent, and get some righteous indignation when somebody tells you Merry Christmas. You need to be like, first and foremost, I don't appreciate that, and I don't celebrate that. And Most High be praised in my life, and keep it moving.
Well, I think now in this time, they're saying Happy Holidays, because there's so many different religions, beliefs, or whatever, that they don't want to offend people. But you still have those Christians or whatever saying Merry Christmas, and that's true. And I shouldn't be saying that.
Sister Jamal is right about that, because when I was still working for the city of San Francisco, they even sent out a memo. You can't say no Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, nothing like that. You had to say Happy Holidays. I mean, they're putting out decrees.
Right.
And that's when the Protestant church comes back to the Catholic church and they unite and they become one. This is when the whole world becomes one around this demonic holiday. There ain't nothing holy about it. So they just keep trying to bury the truth and keep people immersed in this demonic spirit of a hypocritical so-called giving day.
Got to figure out how to take that white Santa badge in my office.
Well, burn it. All right.
Great.
So we'll get into some more current events. There are a few current events I want to touch on, but I'll do that right after Sister Tamar is done with the herb of the day and the announcements.
All right. All praises to the Most High. Shabbat shalom, sisters and brothers. Hope you're enjoying your day of rest. This is the best day of the week. It's a Sabbath. I love it. Can't wait for this day. But this is our herbal segment. As always, we're about healing for the mind, body, and soul. Before I start, I always like to give this disclaimer. I'm not a doctor, physician, herbalist, not practicing medicine. So
I'm just scared.
Whatever.
You heard what they did to Dr. C.
I'm putting out the disclaimer because I'm all about helping our people healing and eating right and living right. So that's what it's about in this herbal segment.
So,
today we're going to talk about a particular leaf. Go ahead, Brother D.
So it's not Dr. Tamar.
It's not Dr. Tamar. It's not even herbalist Tamar. It's not even my first name. That'll get you in trouble calling me by my government name. But anyway, all right, I'm feeling quick. So today we're going to talk about bay leaf. And most of our sisters, we use bay leaf because it's excellent for our foods, our soups, that goat dish that I made on the last High Holy Day had bay leaf in it. It gives it a nice flavor, but actually, bay leaf has excellent health benefits. And me and Elder V were in the bed, and we were just listening and reading over the bay leaf and what it has. And we were just like, wow, like, really? You know, it's just like cilantro. They have so many healing properties. But bay leaf, we'll talk about that today. So it has your iron, your magnesium, your calcium, potassium, vitamins A and C. It helps with bad cholesterol. It aids in managing diabetes. It improves health and hair follicles. It alleviates any type of respiratory condition. It lowers stress hormones in your body. It aids in reducing inflammation caused by sore joints and arthritis. And so when you're using this bay leaf, if you're cooking with, you know, soups and everything, you know, instead of just pushing a leaf aside, break it off. Eat it with your meal. It helps with your digestive system. We've also burned the leaf a little bit just to kind of get the aroma because it helps with anxiety and stress, which is very good. And overall, it protects your heart. It prevents cancer. And most of all, it's very beneficial. So do your research, as always. Like I tell you, don't take Sister Tamar's word. Do your research and get hipped on this bay leaf, because I'm always buying it in the store to cook, but I'm never using it for the other healing properties that it has, that I am now. So I encourage you, my sisters and brothers, to get you some bay leaf and use it. You know, if you turn with me to Exodus 23, verse 25, and he says, "And ye shall serve the Most High your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." And so, brothers and sisters, like we know, it's all about keeping these commandments, making sure that we're doing what we can to stay in line with our Abba, and make sure that we're removing sin out of our lives, because we know that sin is transgression of the law. And so we know that sin can also cause sickness. So just make sure that you're taking care of your body, alleviating the stress, the anxiety. Don't worry about your finances or anything like that. Just really focus on the Most High and let him be your healer. Let him be your provider. Let him just take control as you continue to walk in good health. And so we encourage you to make sure that you are following the dietary laws in Leviticus, making sure that you're eating clean and not unclean foods and drink. Overall, you know, we only have one body, and so we just encourage you to be mindful of what you digest in your system, what you're eating. Make sure you're looking at the labels. Make sure you're reading the labels. Our motto here, if it has more than, what, four ingredients, four or five, it's too many. And if you can't pronounce it, you definitely don't need to be putting it in your system. So did you want to add anything, hon, before I go to the announcements? Okay, so that was your herbal segment, bay leaf. So our announcements are every Tuesday, Most High willing, we have the Heart of a Hebrew Woman. Last Tuesday, had so much going on this game. Last Tuesday, I did Heart of a Hebrew Woman around 4 o'clock California time. And let me tell you, I was not prepared to do Heart of a Hebrew Woman with everything going on. But I told Elder B, I'm going to do something. So I opened up the book and write John 15. It was an excellent lesson. I love John 15. Very inspiring. So if you have a chance, sisters, go back and listen to it. But this coming Tuesday, again, I have to work. And I will do Heart of a Hebrew Woman probably at 4 o'clock again. And oftentimes that does happen because of my work schedule. But I will get it in, Most High willing. On Wednesday, we have Inspirational Wednesday with Elder V, Deacon D, at 8 o'clock a.m. That is California time. So you want to make sure you tune in. And I'm going to keep saying it, Thursday, Friday, Elder V's going to bring back Straight No Chaser.
Well, in actuality, on a side note, I am bringing back Straight No Chaser. Straight No Chaser is not so preachy, Hebrew-y. It's for the Hebrews, but it's more focused on news. They just finally took off the last black news channel off TV
right.
One, which is Roland Martin.
Right.
A bunch of white folks canceled him and said he's not multiracial enough. So we're losing our black voices. So I want to take that serious. So on Thursday mornings, I will be coming back with Straight No Chaser, which helps us to look at current events, what they're doing to us, our people, our community, and other different news events, and be able to discuss that. So I see how important it is to keep a voice. There are no more black news media. They got rid of DT a long time ago. He was the last one, and they canceled him because he's just too black, and they don't want
it
anymore.
Right.
So it's important. So I am bringing back Straight No Chaser, and it will be very important. I deal with things that we see in the news, media, break it down, and get more of a spiritual understanding of what's transpiring.
All right. So, yay, that's coming back. So stay tuned for the dates and times for Straight No Chaser. And then, of course, every Shabbat, Most High willing, we are here with the Sabbath lessons. So next Sabbath, as our brothers and sisters, we're on the amongst the Feast of Dedications. We will be gathering here in Northern California at Walnut Creek at the library. We reserved a big room, Las Trompas, off of Civic Drive in Walnut Creek. We're going to have food and fellowship, and so we encourage our brothers and sisters to come in and spend some time with us and help us celebrate the Feast of Dedications. Brother D is going to do a solo Deck the Halls and Chestnuts Roasting on an open fire, so get ready for that. He's going to bring that to you. He's been practicing religiously, so can't wait to hear that anyway.
I'm going to show y'all.
We just want yes, we're definitely going to be there with our brothers and sisters. So we encourage you, if you can, come up. It's going to be truly a blessed day. We'll have a program set up before us, and Elder V will bring the closing message. So we encourage you to reach out to us on our Facebook page and get in contact with us. And whatever we can do to help you come to this event, just let us know, and we'll put something together to help you get here. You want to add anything? All right, he's quiet today. That means the lesson's going to be powerful. It's always powerful. Anyway, no church nap today, Deacon D. All right, well, I'm going to turn it back over to Elder V, and I'm going to say shalom and enjoy the rest of your Shabbat.
Okay, before I give it to Brother Demetrius for the reading of the law, there are some current events, and this is kind of like how I would fashion the Straight No Chasers. But there's some things that I want to touch on. Feel free to comment, Brother D. I want to alert you all to something. Don't start drinking the Colin Kaepernick Kool-Aid. Colin Kaepernick has been picked out and positioned to represent the black people and to be a new black leader. Colin Kaepernick is a part of a Greek fraternity and has been ever since college. He is a Alpha Kappa. That's why they call him Cap, because Kaepernick is a Kappa. And he's being paid very well and handsomely to go to other countries and get a lot of photo ops, take pictures, and to receive that award he received for Sports Illustrated. And now they're pushing him on us and asked to be to galvanize us and represent the black cause and make him wear natural and French braids. It's so bold and fake and in our faces. And he has absolutely nothing to say but tell the people to keep dancing, keep protesting, keep fighting, when the scriptures made it clear that we're not to protest and be in the streets, but we're to look to the Father and not keep looking for somebody to take a knee. He said, when Christ returns, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. So I wanted you to understand that the hidden elite are using what's known as controlled opposition, where they create the figure that is their opposition. They're on their payroll to keep us diametrically opposed and having opinions and totally distracted. So I wanted to bring that out because there was a time where I was very proud of him, saying, oh, he's donating all his money. No, they're giving him the money to donate it. He's very well taken care of. They don't want him in the NFL. It's all a joke. They're making him your new Al Sharpton, your new Jesse Jackson, because he knows that they're not working. Right now, everywhere Kaepernick shows up, people are just frolicking to him like he's the new black hero. He's not. So don't drink the Kool-Aid. I want to touch on this one, too. As it pertains to all of these women coming out talking about, he touched me, he molested me, he did this to me.
These white men have been molesting our women in slavery for years, which is why we have the type of people that look like Colin Kaepernick. Okay, and so these people are starting to realize they're getting ready to be exposed for the treachery that they've done to our people as well, because we're going to go way back with this. You have to understand that Edom, the Edomites, Esau, the Amalekites, these Khazar Jews, they understand that they're going to have to pay dearly for the damage and bloodshed that they've done to our people, the indigenous people, the North American Indians. They understand that their time is coming to an end. We are at the end of the Esau's reign, vastly approaching Jacob's rule, getting ready to go through Jacob's trouble so that we can have the leadership and have the kingdom. We're getting ready to take it. Hallelujah. So with all the bloodshed, I need you to know that the reason you're sensing so much racism right now is because they know that they have to pay. What do we do to keep from having to pay? Let's try to exterminate as many black people as possible through chemtrails, through vaccinations, through sickness. And then outside of that, let's make sure we keep as many of the Most High's people, God's people, the Most High's people, Hayah, let's keep his people in sin. If we can get them to keep breaking the commandments of their father, keep them chasing us, wanting to be like us in other nations, then we will win by default, and we will not be chastised for the bloodshed and things we've done, because there'll be nobody for the Most High to come back and get, because they're all in sin or they're all dead. So if you want to know the narrative and the end game, that is the narrative, that is the end game through the vaccinations, the chemtrails, the GMO foods, the poison within the fibers of the clothing that you wear, the influences through the music, which encourage you, and the 4G radiation that penetrates your mind with MK Ultra and gives you thoughts of, you know, leaving your husband, your wife, or committing fornication or adultery. They want you to break the laws and commandments so that there's nothing for the Shah HaMashiach to return for, because we'll all be in the club. We're all breaking the laws. We're all in sin. And the ones who aren't, let's kill them. Let's exterminate them, and let's make sure no more babies are born. Let's make sure that they have the highest rate of abortions. And then let's use their babies to make the vaccinations, and let's roast them and let's eat them and drink their blood so we can have long life. I want you to understand the narrative. And this is all at the apex of what you're seeing about these people saying, okay, I'll step down. I did this. You've been doing this for hundreds of years to our people and our women. Can you imagine the atrocity of walking in a slave's house and taking that man's wife out of her husband's bed and taking her into a barn, and he couldn't do nothing about it and rape her and come back and she have a mulatto baby? And then if the man did do something about it, hang him the next day and cut him into pieces? Do you know what's been done to our people, that they do understand that there's a recompense coming? So they know, and they're nervous, and they're scared that the jig is up. There's probably one more thing I want to touch on before I turn it over to Brother D with the reading of the law, and that would be, let's see, we already know about the Feast of Dedication, and we know about this. We already talked about these fires.
If I can comment on your, you know, the whole thing about leaders, is that we're the only race where they, you know, they try and point out leaders for us. So you got this leader. Our only leader is Yeshua HaMashiach. But they try and put these people, a lot of our Masons, try to put them up there, because if the black people are rising up, they send them in to calm you down. That's their job. But we only have one leader, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach.
Praise to the Most High. With that being said, brother, it's in your hands.
Okay, we're going to do the reading of the law. Deuteronomy 7.
Yes, sir.
We're going to start at verse 1. Deuteronomy 7, start at verse 1. When the Most High, thy Elohim, shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and has cast out many nations before thee, like he's going to do to those those Khazars that are trodding down our land right now, because they're going to be cast out. The Hittites and the Gergesites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Most High thy Elohim shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son. And how much she, I mean, the Most High had a reason for this, and so we're speaking about that here in verse 4. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Most High be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. Like I said, all they're going to do is turn you away from your from the Most High, and that's why he didn't want the mix. Verse 5, but thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their...
Let's go. Hold on, Brother D.
Okay.
I wanted you to elaborate some more about that. What that really entails, because that touches on even what I was talking about all the rapes and atrocities to the slaves early on. The Most High has always been against mixed marriage, but it does happen. It does exist, you know, and you just read that. It was law. It was law. It was forbidden in law. You find this in the book of Esdras as well, where the prophet went in and told them people that they had to get rid of their foreign wives and the kids that they birthed. And now I know there's a saying in Israel that some people are saying that, well, as long as the kid is of the father of the seed, you know, is the he has the seed of the father in him, that he's acceptable. But we find that in Esdras, they were told, you know, Nehemiah as well, that they had to get rid of the children as well, because the woman has the influence. She raises the kid, teaches the kid her language, her worship, her religion. And this is how Solomon got in trouble as well. That last wife that Solomon married finally seduced him into worshiping her God. And he didn't swing her over to the Most High. She swung him over to a pagan God. And he literally lost his mind. It is said that Solomon in his last state was in confusion, despair. It's what we would call schizophrenia today, and be on some type of pharmakia. So I don't like to touch the subject myself too much, because some people come into the truth. I'm not telling them that you got to go home and tell Becky I can't be married to you anymore. You and the kids got to go. But this is the state that we've gotten into, where we've gotten away from the laws. And so the Most High, let me say this to you, because I don't have to get deep. The Most High is going to have mercy on whom he will have mercy on. Because if something was done prior to you coming into the knowledge of the truth, and then so if you try your best, that's all I'm going to say. This is me saying, like Paul said, to the rest speak I. If you're trying your best to live these statutes, laws, and commandments, we have to believe that he'll have mercy and grace, and that she will act as a stranger, come into the fold, be like the Kendrick Lamar song, shut up, sit down, and be humble, and learn the ways of Israel, and carry on.
And you can see why the Most High felt this way. He knew that women would sway their men to worship other gods, and then that would kindle his anger. And then now you're in the soup. Yeah, see.
But like you always tell me though.
Okay.
You said that how can two walk together except they agree? You can't be unequally yoked. Now, so if the brother comes into the truth and the sister is actually diametrically opposed to serving the Most High, that's gonna get some papers. That's going to get some papers. That's just the bottom line. There's just going to constantly be friction. You coming in trying to – you're the head of the house, but you come in and there's a big old statue of Buddha and some incense burning and fruit and all kind of sacrifices made to the statue, and teaching the kids that way, that's not going to happen. That's not going to work. That's confusion. That's confusion, and that's being unequally yoked.
Yes, I mean, you have to. Your wife coming into, I know you've come into this truth, she's got to accept that. If she doesn't want to accept that, well, then there's a big issue that needs to be dealt with. Verse 5. But thus shall ye deal with them. Ye shall destroy their altars and break down their images and cut down their groves and burn their graven images with fire. For thou, and this is how the Most High feels about his chosen, for thou art an holy people unto the Most High, thy Elohim. The Most High, thy Elohim, hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself. Every time I read that, I mean, it just strengthens me. A special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Most High did not set his love upon you, not choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. Verse 8. Brother B, you still there?
I'm right here. Go ahead.
Brother B? Okay, because I was hearing some noise there. Okay, verse 8. But because the Most High love you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your father. See, the Most High don't break covenants. Man breaks covenants, but the Most High will never break his covenant. That's why he gives you strength and give you hope that just like he kept his word about us going into these curses, he'll keep his word when he in redeeming us. See, hath the Most High brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt? Know therefore that the Most High, thy Elohim, is the God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. See, that's something you have to do. You have to keep those commandments to a thousand generations. A thousand generations. That just didn't mean back then. The law is done away with. You don't have to worry about it. It says a thousand generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Most High thy Elohim shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he swore unto thy fathers. The Most High doesn't break covenants. And I just that part there where it says keep these commandments for a thousand generations, right there, that tells these people who are talking about done away, right there tells them that, you know, nope, you got to keep these forever, because we're not going to reach a thousand generations before HaMashiach comes back. So you're supposed to be keeping those right now.
Right. Absolutely. Hallelujah. You still there?
So that's reading of the law. Go ahead, Brother B.
No, go ahead. If you're not done, go ahead.
No, I was just saying that's the reading of the law for the day, for this holy Sabbath.
All praises to the Most High. Excellent reading, brother. Excellent reading. And I really do like, well, I like all of it, and I do like the last part, and that's very key. A thousand generations, that's one scripture that you can show all these Christians that say the law is done away with. And you tell me, it said, not one jot or tittle of this law shall fade away. Pass away until all has been fulfilled. So that thousand years is one of the fulfillments that must take place that has not taken place.
I really don't know where these people get off. But, you know, it's for the Most High to reveal what the truth is and who has the truth. So all praises to the Most High for that reading, as according to Acts, every Sabbath day, people went to the synagogue to hear the reading of the laws. Shaul was there, and after the reading of the law, he got up to speak and to preach. When I come back, I'm going to come back with a lesson on preparing to take back my temple. The reason I'm doing that is because we're getting ready to go into the Feast of Dedication, which was all about the Maccabees brothers storming the temple, taking back the temple, and then watching the miracle of the menorah be lit the 8 days straight. So we're going to prepare to take back our temples and prepare for war when we come back from this short break.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It won't work. Say no.
Most High has made. Isaiah 54 and 17 tells us that no weapon formed against us can prosper, And the second part that people don't want to memorize is, and every tongue that rises up against thee, thou shalt condemn. Psalm was very befitting because it's talking about weapons that are used in warfare, spiritual warfare, and in war. And we need to play that to encourage your heart that these weapons are being used against us to keep us from taking control of the temple that we have control over. It's our bodies and our minds. There was a study done that showed that the heart does have a mind that controls the brain, and that how you feel within your heart and your overall well-being does affect the entire body. If you put yourself in a blissful state or a depressing state, what you focus on and what you dwell on, where your thoughts are, where you know, your mind will be, your heart will be. So they work together. So it's important for you to put yourself in a position where you can stay happy. I'm not saying an ignorant happy, but to be informed. The scripture says as we come into more knowledge, we get a little heavier because we start to, all the little bliss that we had because of ignorance is gone. Now the burden of truth is upon us, and it's a heavy thing to carry. When you like, it just doesn't provide the joy it used to provide me when I was a kid. I thought that was all that, but now I know better. I can see through Hashatan's tactics. So we're talking about preparing ourselves to take back the temple, rededicate our temples, for your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKadosh. The Ruach HaKadosh. And here is the first scripture I want to give you that's key, which is 2 Timothy 2 and 4. 2 Timothy 2 and 4 says this: that no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The reason being, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you've been chosen, and if you have a knowledge of this truth, you've been chosen. But the key is after you're chosen, you got to go to the first part of this verse. It says that no man that warreth, because we're in a war to take back our minds, our hearts, our souls, our bodies, our memories. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Now, we're going to know what's happening in this world. We're going to know about the wars, rumors of wars, everything I spoke of earlier about what they're doing to the foods and vaccinations. But the key is the beginning of the verse that said, we don't get entangled in that. Let me sum it up for you by summing it all up. Pretty much, you hear it, and then you dismiss it, because our focus is on our Mashiach. We're to look to the hills. We're to seek first the kingdom. We're not to, like, get distraught to the point where we feel there's no hope. But we have this hope that's on the inside, that the excellency may be of the Most High, the power, and not of ourselves. That comes from 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. That says we have a treasure in our vessels. See, when you're chosen and the Ruach is in you, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 tells us that we have a treasure on the inside, which should keep you from focusing on everything that's happening on the outside. Greater is that that's in you than anything in the world. I'm preparing myself because the technology that they have to destroy us and annihilate us, the Hebrews, and I'm talking to you because I want you to know that some of these weapons of mass destruction, these direct energy weapons, some of them are race specific. They know how to target melanated people only. Some of these direct energy weapons that they have, they can target individuals. With this type of technology, you better believe that all we have hope in is the Most High. He has to deliver us. You can't deliver yourselves. You don't need to try to hide from the technology that they already have cameras in your house watching you, tracking you, listening to your phone calls. There's nothing they can do if you truly believe that no weapon formed against me can prosper.
And this is why I'm talking to you, preaching to you, to tell you that this is the hour that we're to prepare our temples so that Psalms 91 and 1 will be us. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. And then when you go down Psalms 91, it says that 1,000 will fall on our left, 10,000 at our right. When the nuclear bombs begin to hit, we're trying to flee to various countries like we could flee. I mean, Dr. Sebi went to Honduras, caught him with 35 G's in his pocket, took him to jail, and killed him in the jail because this man was curing and healing too many people from wretched diseases without a college degree. But through the insight of the Ruach, showing him how to heal our people. I'm not making him a Hebrew or anything like that. I put him in heaven or anything. I'm just letting you know the ability he had that was given to him by the Most High. And he fled to another country. What you need to do is not worry about fleeing as so much fleeing the enemy, fleeing the devil, fleeing what he's doing to us, what he's doing to your mind, how he keeps you fighting over the same issue with your spouse, keeps you in the same financial deprivation where you can't provide for your family and get food and eat, how he keeps you going round and round. What is it? He's keeping you in a fog so that you can't go to a higher height in the Most High so that you don't grow spiritually. He's trying to keep you distracted.
That's why we need to rely on him, Brother V. We need to rely on him because they can come at us from all sides, no matter what. Some people say, well, you know, they're on Facebook, you know, they're tracking you. They have all kind of ways to track you that they're doing technology, and that's what they're doing. Yeah, and that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
You can't be worried about that. You've got to put your trust in the Most High.
Absolutely. And I am not even worried about that no more. Preaching, telling the truth on Facebook, showing our face. Got Hebrews who won't even put their face on Facebook because they hide. You know what they hiding from, Brother D? Is because you can see a demon a mile away in somebody's eye.
Yep. Yeah.
I tell my wife all the time, show me a picture. I need to see a picture of it. You can see when Hashatan got it. You can see when they lick their lips from lasciviousness and sin, just dripping off their lips. You can see. So I have no fear of these Edomites in this world and what they're trying to do to us, because what I'm focusing on is I want to make it in the kingdom. I want to be in that number. So I can't allow myself to be distracted by the cares of this world and everything that they're disseminating amongst us to kill us and destroy us. The Most High's got my back. This is what we have.
Want to make that first resurrection. We want to make that first resurrection.
Absolutely. The first resurrection. So let me give a key, and then we're going to go through some scriptures. Another key I want to give you is that I was telling my wife that we have to, this is a part of preparing for war and taking back your temple. You've got to stop reacting to people. You've got to stop letting them move your emotions. You've got to get control of your posture and your emotions, because Hashatan has people that are available to be used by him to get to you, to go off on them, cuss them out, or do whatever it is they're trying to get you to do. But when you react, you're coming out of your character. And when you try to, somebody comes at you with some type of demonic anger and you open yourself up to it, that spirit jumps right on you. And then it takes you another week to get it off you. You got to go on a fast and pray and say, oh, God, I'm sorry. I lost myself. You know what I'm talking about. I gave you an example. Road rage. When you're throwing up the finger and cussing everybody out and chasing them and following them and trying to run them off the road. And then 5 minutes later, you're like, God, I'm sorry. What was I thinking? That spirit jumped on you that quick. And I saw a YouTube video just the other day where two brothers got out with pistols over road rage, start shooting at each other in the midst of downtown. and everybody taping it. Next thing you know, the police were there. The SWAT team was there. Them brothers was both on the ground. Both went to jail over road rage.
So, nonetheless, is we want to stop reacting to people. You want to think first and then respond.
Brother
That's
D?
What you want to do. Go ahead, Brother D.
Is that why you you don't mind having Sister Tamar do the driving?
That's right, brother. That's correct.
Keep him in check.
she know I drive pretty good. You know, I got my old man drive on. I like the slow lane now. There's some clowns out here. Some clowns out here, and it's you know what it is. These demons, the activity of CERN, these machines, demonic activities at an all-time high. And I'm gonna talk about this on Straight No Taser next week. That you probably never look at the side of the highways that they have all of these. They call them cell phone towers, but they're not for the cell phones, people. They're emitting frequencies and waves to affect your emotions and agitate your anxiety. You don't need that many cell phone towers. And they're getting ready to increase it to 5G. And that's because there are new chemtrails that are out with nanoparticles, robots, metal dust. And the cell phone towers can actually stimulate and activate what you're breathing in every day. And they know how to turn it up to a frequency that makes you passive or aggressive. At the end of the day, the nanoparticles and the frequencies are demonically inspired, influenced, and possessing people. You have no idea how serious it is to stay connected to the Most High in this hour and to fast and eat healthy, pray, and have your discernment on, because they are trying everything possible through technology to destroy you. I don't want you to be ignorant. I want you to be knowledgeable, and I don't want you afraid. I want you to be prayerful and not entangle yourselves with this. Because you've been called, that means you'll be protected. And the work he's began in you, he's going to finish it until he comes. He won't let those things affect you. He'll detox your body. If you listen to his spirit when he tells you what to eat and what herb to take, he'll help you detox and get that crap up out of you. We're in a spiritual warfare. We're a battle, people. Serious battle. I'm going to start reading these scriptures, Brother D. Feel free to stop me.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you said you got your old man driving now. You're in the slow lane, and that's a big key there, because when we get the rushing and speeding around, that's when things happen. Trying to make the light, you know, here you are. That's where your focus is. Got to make the light. And then that's when all those things happen. So if you just relax and slow down, keep it at an easy pace, then you'll stay out of all those issues that come upon you.
Absolutely. So we're talking about preparing to take back our temples as we are preparing. And I salute everyone that's just keeping this holy thing. I am not on that tip of saying you got the wrong date, you going to hell. That's not me. We all got the wrong dates because we're in our final captivity. And the book of Jubilees said that we would err with the time. I'm just glad you're keeping the Feast of Dedication, the ones that kept it last week, the ones that's keeping it this coming week, the ones that kept it 2 weeks ago. All praises. Invite me to your feast. I don't care when you're keeping it. I want to know that you're keeping the holy day. So we're preparing to go into the holy day that commemorates the storming of the temple by the Maccabees, brother, Judas Maccabees, and how they took it back. I want you to take back your temple and prepare it. So by the time we get to Passover, you ready to get your praise, though. Let's see. I'm going to go through various scriptures about preparing for war. Luke 14:31. Or it says this: or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? This is saying that you must consider if you're prepared to go into some of the battles you go into. This is also what Brother Jesus got through saying, slow down. Don't rush to a battle. Don't rush to an archer. Don't rush to argue with your family why you're not coming to Christmas. Don't rush to go set that sister straight. Don't go rush to set that brother straight. Don't go rush to set your wife straight, your husband straight. Slow down and consider whether you're strong enough to go into some things. There's some places you're not strong enough to go to. There's some situations you're not strong enough to enter into. There's some places, brothers, you know you don't need to go. Why would you go there? Sisters, there's some places you know you can't handle based on your past. You shouldn't go there. I don't know why all y'all thinking about sex. That's only one thing. I could be talking about shopping. Stay out the mall, sisters. You know you love shopping. You know you're going to be tempted and spend all your money. Don't even go near the mall. All praise. Look at another one. Psalms 24 and 8. Who is the King of glory? The Most High, strong and mighty. The Most High is mighty in battle. Listen to this. 2 Samuel 11 and 1. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the sons of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed at Jerusalem. Some fights ain't for you, and it's not for everybody to go with you. Why are we trying to bring everybody with us, Brother D? There might be an area in life we're getting ready to go into where he was like, he need to go and she need to go. It's a pruning of the tree that there might be growth. Because he sees farther
Hallelujah.
Than you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Numbers 32 and 6. But Moses said to the sons of Gad, to the sons of Reuben, shall your brothers go to war while you yourselves sit here? Now this deals with the aspect of the laziness of not supporting your brothers and sisters when they're in a trial. Are you going to let them deal with this thing alone? That's where the strength of fellowship comes in. Those who cut themselves off from fellowship are acting as Reuben and Gad were acting when Moses, the sons of Reuben and Gad were acting when Moses got on them. If I'm standing with you, you know that you have the support. Sometimes it's nothing but standing with you in prayer, fasting, and listening. Let's keep that in mind. Let's see another one I want to focus on. Psalms 144 and 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. Do you not understand that he has trained your hands for war and your fingers for battle? So he's always preparing you. He's preparing you to be a sanctuary, pure and holy. That's your war. Scripture said, Lord, prepare me. Most High, prepare me. My Elohim, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. So your body is the temple of the Ruach HaKadosh. It has to be cleansed. You got to have oil in your lamp. There was five that had it, five that didn't. Understand that. Seriousness of being prepared. Let's move to the next one. 3. You know that David, my father, was unable to build a house for the name of the Most High, his power, because of the wars which surrounded him, until the Most High put them under the soles of his feet. He had so many wars to fight that it took the Most High to come down and give him the victory and conquer these demons, these battles. If you know you got some demons and some struggles, don't bring them to the table because you want to hold on to them, defend them, and lie and try to cover up and put on a mask. That's called a facade. We got so many Hebrews that have on a facade. They learn 10 Hebrew words, got a pocket full of precepts, go get a head wrap, put on some fringes, but it's all a cover-up because you don't really want to come clean. You want to present yourself a certain way. That's called lying.
You're lying to yourself. And if you're a liar, you are a child of Satan, according to 1 John 2, 3, and 4, because you're breaking the commandments. So we have to understand that he will not put your battles under your feet until you allow him to take care of everything and cleanse you and come clean. Hallelujah.
Brother V, if I can read a scripture, if I can read scripture here, because see, the nations all knew that the Most High was had his people's back, and they just couldn't. I mean, they wouldn't go and didn't want to go into battle with him, because in Lamentations 4:12, it says the kings of the earth and all the inhabitants of the world would not have believed that the adversary and the enemy should have entered into the gates of Jerusalem. Like I said, so they couldn't see, they couldn't even fathom that happening. But the thing is, as long as they were, as long as his people were abiding by his commandments and judgment, that cannot happen. But once they stopped doing that, you know, they made themselves vulnerable, because, like I said, the nation, they couldn't believe that anyone would ever enter the gates of Jerusalem, any enemy.
Yeah, yes. Hallelujah. That's it, man. And where was that found at again?
Oh, that was Lamentations 4 and 12.
Hallelujah. Listen, the seriousness of what we're saying to you is to allow yourself to be delivered and be sanctified and come clean. There's some things that are behind you that you must let go of. When I think about Yosef, what he did with his brothers, he had to be set free, delivered, and able and willing to forgive in order to move forward, because he realized that Satan meant for evil, the Most High turned it around and used it for good, and that there's an ultimate plan. You got to have faith and trust in the Most High that he has a plan. It might look bad. You don't understand it now. You tripping. But there is a plan, and we're doing all this so that we can take back the temple. You have to have a clean temple filled with the Most High Spirit in order to navigate yourself through what's coming on this earth in the name of Jacob's trouble. You've got to be spiritually diligent and prepared to make it through. Let's get ready to close out with 1 Peter 1 and 13. I'll start at verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. Seems like these scriptures are saying everything I just got through saying. Verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. What you talking about on the phone? When you call your friends, your partners, what is your conversation? Is it Kodesh? Is it holy? Verse 16. Because it is written, and when they say that in what's called the New Testament, they say it is written, meaning it's in the law. That's what they're in reference to. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. For Ahaya holy. That's what I am is. It's Eyah. Verse 17. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work past the time of your sojourning here in fear. 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers, precious blood of Mashiach as of a lamb without blemish
and without spot, who verily was forever, or who was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Verse 21, who by him do believe in the Most High that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in the Most High. Now, seeing ye have purified your souls, this means that you've taken back your temple right here. Verse 22, let's be clear. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth, which is the law, through the Spirit, unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Work hard at loving your fellow Hebrews, not throwing them under the bus.
Brother V? Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And that last word, that last verse, you know, having love for your brother, and there's not enough of that out there. As you see Hebrews on television, throwing their own people under the bus, spewing out the Edomites' verbiage with this black-on-black crime stuff and all this shit. They don't have the love for their people there. The love is for money over. You see that going on quite a bit these days, not having the love for your brother.
And, you know, Brother D, you got to want to be loved. And a lot of people will say they want to be loved, and we can see that they need to be loved. But when someone really wants to be loved, they come in a spirit of brokenness and humility. So there's an opening and a crack to receive the gift of love. But when you want it, but don't want to come clean and correct, you just want to come like just fighting everything, fighting everybody, it's because you haven't humbled yourself. And Most High has to bring us to a place. Now, I'm not, you know, justifying anything. I'm realizing that you're absolutely correct, but I'm realizing a lot of Hebrews don't want to receive it. They've been so damaged that we have to learn to look beyond what they're doing and be available for them when they get to the point of receiving love. Our Hebrews have PTSD from all the crap we've been through. Slavery, Willie Lynch. We have post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. Bad. We are stressed as a people. Brother D, can you speak for 1 second?
Okay, well, that's prevalent in our people, this post-traumatic stress syndrome, like you said, because, you know, we've been programmed and trained to believe another way, and also for self-hate. I mean, it's just, that's just out there. You know, you got these people willing to throw their own people under the bus, and you don't see that happening with a lot of other nations. You know, they circle the wagons. You know, they're supporting each other, but you see a lot of that. And like I said, because we've been put upon for so long and been taught to self-hate, taught to think the worst of ourselves, because that's the spirit that they put out, that especially in America, they put out throughout the world. If people come here, you know, never seen a black, never actually seen a black person, but they have these preconceived notions because that's what they were told.
Right. Let me go ahead and go to verse 23 of 1 Peter, the first chapter, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of the Most High, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The word of the Most High endureth forever. And this
forever.
Forever, ever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
This word is the only thing that will last. You, as a man, as flesh, will wither away. We're born again of an incorruptible seed. We didn't get here by a corruptible seed. I'm going to leave that right there because I want to keep my focus. I need you to recognize that first verse that said, gird up your, the loins of your mind and be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, brother. So that's my encouragement prior to, I know we're getting ready to get into the Feast of Dedication series. There's some other things going on, and we'll be fellowshipping, most high willing, next Shabbat here in White Nut Creek, surrounded by Edomites. If that's okay. They're more than welcome to come in and sit down, shut up, be humble. I'm going to keep saying that. That's going to be my favorite line. So, brothers and sisters, understand that it's in time for you to take back the temple of your mind, your heart, your body, and soul, and prepare yourselves. And not be entangled with the cares of this world, which I read about in 2 Timothy 2 and 4. I read that right now because that demonic eggnog with rum drinking, Nat King Cole, Donnie Hathaway, this Christmas spirit is looming over you tough. I know you're ready to give in. What would you straddle the fence for? Be cold or be hot? You can't be lukewarm. He'll spit you out his mouth. Not time to succumb to the pleasures of this world. You can get past this New Year's and all that. So much you want to say Happy New Year, drink some champagne, and kiss a stranger. That we not of that flesh, of that fold anymore. We've separated ourselves and come from up out of that. All praises to the Most High. Just want to encourage you on that today. Amen. Brother D, it's kind of early. I didn't go to 12, but go ahead. You got some other things you want to cover, I'll say.
Well, let me put my eggnog down first. But,
hey, turn that Christmas music off.
Exactly. I guess we went over last week, so I guess it's just kind of balancing it out. But I just want to say to all of the 12 tribes and even the strangers out there, you know, read that this story of the Feast of Dedication. It's a glorious story. It just shows also what having faith in the Most High can do for you, because there was a lot of faith. I mean, they were under the Greeks. They were just under Greeks' rule. It was a hard rule, but they had the faith in the Most High and wanted to stand with the Most High and continue to keep the laws and statutes, because that's one thing they didn't want the Hebrews to do. They wanted to go away from that and to start worshiping their gods. But the Maccabees and the Hebrews at that time had that faith in the Most High, and they fought in order to worship the Most High. So just read that story and just get ready for this glorious holiday. Or I don't call it a holiday, High Holy Day.
High Holy Day. Man, if you turn the Christmas lights off that Christmas tree in the living room, you wouldn't be getting distracted.
Sister Ma better be careful. She might come in to work one morning and somebody put a little small Christmas tree on her desk.
Oh, no, that ain't going to happen.
Because they do that.
Not in my job.
Listening, because we know that we have walked so far away from these earthly holidays, we don't even keep them. But some of you all, on a serious note, might be struggling because the family put the pressure on you. Come on, Hebrews, stand like a Hebrew should, like a Shebrew should. Come on, stay in the fight like a true Israelite. Come on, stay in the fight. Don't throw the Savior down right now because you want to go do your thing. Like James Brown's song. No. Come on, y'all stand true, stand firm, and stay in the game. This is your time to let it be known who you really are, that you are not of this world. Your Kodesh is set apart. So read them stories some more. Also, 1 John 10 and 11 talks about the Messiah, the Mashiach, going to the Feast of Dedication, going to the temple and preaching. So
let's just remember that. And there was something else that was on my mind. It'll come back to me. Sister Tamar wants to say something.
So, brothers and sisters, again, I just want to thank my Shebrews out there and their families that have tuned in, that have been very supportive, listening to our Let's Love Them, I Miss Them, Most High Willing. We coming out there with Brother D. We're going to pack him up and bring him out, and we're going to do some work and come out and spend some time with you guys. So just want to keep you encouraged. Also want to pray for our brothers and sisters that are down there in L.A. That are celebrating the Feast of Dedications. A lot of fires, a lot of smoke, a lot of things going on, but we pray that they have a festive time and get back home safely to their families. And that's all.
One other thing that, like I said, that whole dedication there, you know, that was a fight. That was a fight to keep upholding the laws and statutes of the Most High, because, like I said, they didn't want us to do that. You had Hebrews, you know, either not having certain procedures to reverse their circumcision. I mean, they were really hard on us to not to follow anything. They were haters of the Most High. And so that whole fight was the key to be able to continue to stay with the Most High and to praise the Most High with all the laws and statutes and judgment that he gave us.
Right. And fighting to keep the commandments is fighting to save your life, because keeping the commandments is life. And if we don't keep these commandments, we won't see the Most High. We are not going to the kingdom. So this is a way of life. This is the Israelite way of life, and we fighting to keep it. We will not let man, we will not get on one accord with 7 billion people in the world and celebrate Christmas. You must be out your mind. We are separating ourselves from you, looking at you like you crazy while you stuck in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, worshiping a tree. We're not having it. We're not having it. We represent, we are the Most High's people. We are called out people. And that's what we will be about. So this ain't no time for, I'm not going to even compromise with you and say, I know it's tough. No, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not about to pat you on the back because you can't go drink some eggnog and eat some ham. I'm going to be like, what you crying for? Strap up your boots. Gird up your loins. Be glad he woke you up to the truth. That's how I'm talking to you. I'm going to let y'all know, Brother B ain't patting nobody on the back, you know. I had a lot of Hebrews and Shebrews run away to him. You're a trip. Yeah, I'm going to be a trip. They didn't call me everything. One of these Hebrews around here got me in jail and AA meetings every weekend. I ain't coming up there. He in AA and he in jail. Well, if you love me and you my brother, put something on my books and go to the AA meeting with me, since that's what where you got me. I tell you, these Hebrews, boy, y'all something else. Brother B is right here with Tamar and got the victory. So don't be tearing down your Hebrews to try to build a platform for yourself. Let's get that love out and love on one another. That's a hard thing for Hebrews to do. Love and forgive, because they don't want you to see all the mess that's on them. Look, I put mine in the book. I know what the Most High delivered me from, because I want the world to know. Because believe it or not, that your testimony is because you went through a test. And your testimony is what he put you here for, to tell the world to come back to the Most High. Turn to the Most High. He can do anything for you. He can do anything for you. Come on, look at the ones he chose. Why y'all want to come to the Most High, and all of a sudden, you Barack Obama and Michelle Obama? Most High went and got a fisherman, had a thief named Judas, an accountant, went and got regular people. Stop fronting. He knows who you are. He knows what you wrestle with, what you're struggling with. Keep up the fight and keep these commandments. He uses ordinary people.
Hallelujah.
Should I go off? Yeah.
All right. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to let it go for now. I love y'all. I want you to continue with your Shabbat. Have an excellent Shabbat. I speak out of love. I preach and teach out of love. We do these lessons out of love. We all try to just get in the kingdom. We want to be in that number. And when he say narrow is the way, he do mean narrow is the way.
Y'all better stop thinking everybody going. Everybody talking about heaven, they said in church, everybody talking about heaven ain't going. So you better understand that it's a narrow path. You got to do some dying to the flesh, dying to the flesh, but fall in love with the process and you'll get there.
All right, Brother D. If all has been said, I'm good.
I'm good, too.
I want to say Shabbat Shalom and Deuteronomy 6 and 4, Hear, O Israel, the Most High, our power is one. Shema Yashahala, Yahawa Alahayadnawa, Yahawa Akha. Be strong in the Most High and the power of His might. Oh, Shabbat Shalom.